This weekend, Indonesian authorities placed blame for the bombing of a Marriott hotel in Jakarta last week on the regional terrorist group Jamaah Islamiyah. The network is allied with Al-Qaeda and is also accused in the deadly bombings last October in Bali. The group's activities have been limited to Southeast Asia's Muslim countries over the last decade, but recent arrests in Thailand and Cambodia show that Jamaah Islamiyah is branching out. Kelly McEvers reports from Phnom Penh.
Most of Cambodia's 12 million people are Buddhist. Robed monks pray at funerals and weddings and go door to door seeking alms. As in neighboring Thailand and Burma, Muslims in Cambodia are a small minority, and Muslims here have a history of oppression. During the four-year reign of Pol Pot's Khmer Rouge in the 1970s, more than 500,000 Cambodian Muslims were singled out for their religious beliefs, killed, and buried in mass graves. Ahmad Yahya is a Cambodian Muslim who survived that policy. He's now a member of parliament.
If we look at the statistic of researchers, they say two-thirds of the Muslim population were killed. So like myself and my family, I have two brothers, two of my brothers killed by the Khmer Rouge. So if we look at the story of our people, we are suffering enough.
Aggrieved communities like this one are eager to receive economic aid from their counterparts in more developed Muslim countries, according to terrorism experts. One Saudi charity, Om Al Qura, has sent hundreds of thousands of dollars to Cambodia. Over the last several years, the organization built schools and mosques and brought in Arabic teachers from countries like Jordan, Albania, and Nigeria. It's now thought that much of that money was skimmed off the top and used to fund terror activities, says Zach Abuza, who has written a book about terrorism in Southeast Asia.
This is a small Saudi charity that was involved in Somalia, Bosnia, and also had offices in southern Thailand. And this organization was very important for Al-Qaeda in terms of laundering significant amounts of money.
Earlier this summer, Cambodian police arrested an Egyptian, two Thais, and a Cambodian, and charged them with engaging in international terrorism. Police say the men held leadership roles in Om Al Qura. Officials then closed an Om Al Qura-funded school in rural Cambodia that was attended by some 600 students. Former school director Pik Solin unlocks the door to his now barren office. It used to be so busy in here, he says. Now the sprawling campus is quiet and the students have been sent back to their home villages. It is still unclear whether the suspects arrested here were actually plotting violence or just using the Saudi-funded school as a way to raise and launder money. Before the arrests, Cambodian officials had denied any terrorist activity in their country. But after authorities cracked down on terrorists in Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia, it became clear that cells were moving into less conspicuous places.
There wasn't a history of such terrorism in Cambodia, and there was no need for anyone, or no one was looking around for anybody.
Verghese Matthews is Singapore's ambassador to Cambodia, a country he says is appealing to terrorists.
They felt that the borders look porous, so they can come in, and if they kept a low profile, well, maybe they can carry on doing whatever they were doing.
Cambodia's poorly defended northwestern border with Thailand provides potential terrorists a way into the country. Once in Cambodia, they're tempted by corruptible security forces and vulnerable targets. Workers are building a new U.S. embassy in Cambodia's capital, Phnom Penh. The current embassy is dangerously close to a busy street in the city center. Diplomats say they are taking every precaution as regional terrorists move away from predictable staging grounds and into new territory. For NPR News, I'm Kelly McEvers, Phnom Penh.